This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We are live on the air to inform and entertain for the next 2 hours, 58 minutes, and 49 seconds.
I got better news.
Two Till Tuffy.
I got better news. It is Two Till Tuffy.
Yep.
We will be in Raleigh on Thursday morning, 7 a.m. with this fine program. And a cavalcade of guests will join us.
You've got the list. I don't have the list.
Well, I just know either. A cavalcade of guests are coming.
I was just told 3 minutes ago that we're actually going to be located near the football stadium.
We're
making progress.
Dave Doran is going to join us on game day.
Now, I don't want to spook anybody.
Boo Cargan on game day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Two excellent guests.
Absolutely. Right. Maybe we can call Con Elliott Avent to do a drive-by.
If Coach is in the mood, we'd
love
to see.
Number nine, come on down, bro. I've been love a while. To see. Go ahead.
You know, Dave Doran, and I don't even want to say this, but I'm going to. I give Dave Doran a lot of credit.
Sure.
All right? The star of Yellowstone. Because Coach joined us a couple years ago on game day.
Yeah, he did.
And right. And that was an L.
Stop it.
It was Wake Forest.
Stop it.
So, like I said, I give him a lot of credit. You know what that tells me?
Stop it.
He has supreme confidence in his football team.
Yeah.
And South Florida's rolling up here, and they better bring their A game, because I think the Pack's going to be pretty good.
Brahma Bulls, Jeff Scott, the old Brahma Bulls. They're not the – they used to be the Golden Bulls and then the Brahma Bulls
back
in the 70s when Lee Rose was the basketball coach.
That was Brahma Bulls, as in did not make last night's top five of live mascots. The Bulls did not make it.
You know what else we've got? I think I've done the math right. That game starts at 7. 72 hours? 72 hours.
Hold on. Watch out.
No, 48 hours. Roughly 48 plus 12, 68.
No. Don't do math.
48 plus 12, 60. Take an hour, 59 hours.
Oh, my God.
We're 59 hours away. Is that about right?
Oh, just say Thursday and don't hurt yourself.
Thursday.
There you go.
Right here. Hard to believe we're starting this show this morning with coffee cups. Coffee cup. It's International Whiskey Day, kids.
Every day is International Whiskey Day. So I don't even get excited. It's like people are talking about it. I'm like, hey, dude, excuse me. There's one ice cube with my name on it upstairs every day at 7:01 p.m.
Yep. Old coffee never tasted so good.
You know I brewed it this morning.
Yeah.
If you like the way that tastes.
Yeah, there you go.
You're in trouble.
So we got that going for us. We got Scott Satterfield here at 8 o'clock this morning to answer a very important question.
Well, I think they're the mystery team. They could be anything.
I can't wait to hear him.
And I'm going
to
tell him that. I'm going to say, Coach, of all the teams in the ACC right. – In my humble opinion, your team is the hardest one to figure out, and I'm going to let him ease me into the 21 Louisville football camp.
Right.
That's the deal.
Andrea Adelson joins us at 8:30. We'll talk with her. Manny Navarro, who covers the Canes for the Athletic at 9:30 this morning from South Florida with the latest on Manny Diaz and their preparations for Alabama.
Ibis did not make the top five live mascots last night on all ACC. I don't know if you saw that.
Sebastian the Ibis did not make the list. I don't think Sebastian the Ibis is actually a live animal. Saying Buzz didn't make the list.
Wait a minute. This comes from a guy that picked the Rambling Wreck is the best live mascot. You're calling out Ibis now?
Look, I love Jordan and Kelsey, but did you see the list? Rambling Wreck would have fit in there okay.
Don't get me started.
I know. All right. Couple of other things. We got word yesterday in a stunning development, tongue-in-cheek. Friday night, Lane Stadium, Worsham Field, Blacksburg, Virginia. Hello again, football fans. Is sold out.
Stunning. Shocking.
Shoulder to shoulder. I'm telling you, I don't know what you're going to do the rest of the weekend. But when they hit the button... And they hit Enter Sandman on Friday night. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I'm getting chills thinking about
it. It's cool. It's great. It really is. We need to get Eddie Royal on here to break it down for us. right?
Eddie, what's it like in the tunnel? Yeah. That's what I want to know. Yeah.
When you're making the walk to get to the tunnel.
Kidding me?
And you know, man, we're 3 minutes away from absolute crazy eruption of noise.
So we got that. Friday night sold out in Blacksburg. Next Sunday night, Mike Norvell welcomes Notre Dame to Doak Campbell at Bobby Bowden Field in Tallahassee. Night game at Doak Campbell. One of the best environments at night in America for college football.
Yeah, when they're rocking, it's good.
All right. Yesterday, Coach Norvell released his depth chart. Why are you smiling?
Because I loved it. I loved everything about Mike Norvell's depth chart, except for one thing.
What's that?
Now, I've been preaching this, right, about the quarterback. Sure. Say nothing. Don't tell anybody anything.
Right.
And you've got that situation of Florida State.
He's got four guys.
You find out Sunday night when we break the huddle, right? And I gave you the whole Bill Belichick speech yesterday from Coach Norvell.
Right.
In their depth chart, they put player A or player B. The only thing I would have changed is, instead of the word or, perhaps. But I don't know if they had enough room for that. It should have been, well, we're going to play Jordan Travis, perhaps Mackenzie Milton. I loved what Mike Norvell did.
I would have done one more. I would have gone one step further, Coach.
Comma?
No. I would have gone in alphabetical order, first of all. Not numerical order. I would have gone in alphabetical order.
I love it.
For all four. Mackenzie Milton or
whatever. You know,
Chubba Purdy or Tate Rodemaker or Jordan Travis.
I
would have gone in alphabetical order with three ors.
I love it. I wouldn't say squat. And I'm seeing all these teams.
And by the way, here's what
Texas announces, Hudson Card, Michigan announces.
Whatever.
McNamara.
Guess what I'm doing Sunday night, too, before the game? When the GAs and the assistant coaches are standing. When Marcus Freeman in his first game as Notre Dame's defensive coordinator is standing over there watching Florida State take reps. You know how that happens, right? Mm-hmm. I'm splitting them down the middle. I'm running. If I have in my pregame, let's say 16 plays that I'm going to run on the field in front of Notre Dame, 8 are going to be with Mackenzie Milton and 8 are going to be with Jordan Travis.
I'm all for that. I tell you nothing.
And you know what I'd also do, too? Not telling you what to do, Coach. Just an idea.
Well, you've never lost a game as head coach, have you?
Never had one.
You better listen.
And welcome to everybody at War Chant this morning. I'd like to...
they watch?
I think so. I would like to say that I would not run a play with two quarterbacks on the field at the same time on the field, practice, before the game. If I'm running two plays, if I'm running a play that has two QBs on the field to start the game, I wouldn't run that play before.
I love everything about it. I love the way Norvell's handled it.
Oh, I do too.
And I'm looking forward to that game Sunday night. And you said, I mean, the environment in Blacksburg Friday night is going to be out of sight. Now the Hokies have to step up and play to that level because the Tar Heels are bringing in top 10 material.
Yeah.
And Florida State, hey, they're an underdog at home. It's a Sunday night. The world's watching. You're the only game in town.
Right.
Renegade, Chief Osceola and the boys, Flaming Spear, the whole deal. It should be electric.
All right.
And I do think that game is going to be more competitive than what some folks
absolutely believe. I agree with you on that. So we got a Lane Stadium environment for Friday night. Sunday night, we're going to have an environment in Tallahassee. I would tell you that Saturday night in Charlotte, you're going to get a pretty good environment there.
Oh, you think?
With Georgia and Clemson.
Split 50-50.
But we asked you the question yesterday on social media. What are you most looking forward to this weekend? What in-stadium experience excites you the most?
I'm going to tell you one that's underrated.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two that are underrated. And you don't realize it until you hear it for the first time in a while.
Okay.
The band. It could be nothing more than the drums.
Right.
There's like an automatic, innate sense of something's going on.
Sure.
When you hear it.
Absolutely.
And it could be the brass and the band. Whatever. When you hear it for the first time and you've not heard it for 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost instantly, you turn into football mode. Instantly.
Right.
That's one. And the other one is smoke. The smell of charcoals. Now, for me, that's pretty much pretty consistent in football or non-football. But when you go tailgating and you just can smell the charcoal.
Right.
I mean, there's something about that. I mean, you got the bands cranking, you got a bunch of people and charcoal. You just know it's going to be good. Just know it's going to be good. You almost can't screw it up.
Well, we've had some great submissions from fans.
All right. Let me hear it.
We're looking forward to some more. As we move through the rest of the show today, we'll show you some as we go along today. But what about the in-stadium experience excites you the most, right? I mean, we're there now. We're to the point.
It's go time.
Let's go Greg Zessinger. Greg says, Friday night will be my freshman daughter's first game as a full-fledged Hokie. Nice. How about that?
What a game.
How you starting, Greg? Greg's daughter. Can't wait for her to start jumping and experiencing her Sandman at Lane Stadium. I won't be in the student section, but we'll be in Lane together. Now, see,
that's great.
That's the generational aspect of this that in this part of the country ties the sport.
That's right.
And it's different. It's different at times in the Northeast. It's different in the Midwest. And when we have more time, I'll tell you that. David Jones tweeted his pack. David Jones been listening to us
from day
friend
one.
For years, friend for tears.
Yep.
David has been there since the old ACC Central. Bojangles and tailgating and see NC State beating Clemson and UNC this year at home.
Ooh.
Now, David has been known to live at drastic ends of the spectrum.
I will say one thing about DJ.
He loves the pack.
He loves his Wolfpack, which is great. And he is very brash.
Yes.
Early in the year.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, sometimes we have to talk him back to reality.
Right.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So.
But he's a loyal listener.
Don't forget. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. Don't forget, submit your answers to us using the hashtag Packer and Durham at ACC Network. And we'll keep those coming as the show goes on today.
You can call in too. 844-SAGE.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Love to have calls.
There you go.
There is a rumor that tomorrow we will do accounting.
Oh, we're definitely doing accounting tomorrow.
A rumor?
Wes, you've got to have a starting point.
Okay.
Now, we will have seen absolutely positively no one play. No one. No one. So take it for whatever
what
it's
could
worth.
Possibly go wrong.
Everything will go wrong, and that's right. Why it's awesome.
Sure.
Because people can make fun of us.
That's right.
So we will start that tomorrow.
I'm really excited.
And fans can do the same. Now, you could come up with your list.
Oh, we're going to let people submit tomorrow? Preseason account?
David Jones will have NC State 1 and everybody playing for, hey, who wants to lose the pack in Charlotte? DJ will be all over that. But we will start accounting tomorrow and this year because Notre Dame is going back to their independent status.
They're not on the list.
There are not 15 teams in the league. We got 14, right? So when you see the screen, there could be 7 on the left side, 7 on the right. Last year, I added the Sweet 16 because I just wanted to balance out the screen.
That goes away this year.
Well, we'll see. I might have 16 for you tomorrow. But nevertheless, you as the listener and viewer can figure this thing out and lay it out. 1 through 14, let it rip. Hashtag Packer and Durham.
You're going to get 14 from me.
That's fine.
Okay. You're getting 14.
I'm going to at least give you 14.
Well, I know you're going to give 16 tomorrow because you're going to get some anti-Dodger in there. You're going to get something else.
I'm worried about my guys, man. We got COVID issues. We got all kinds of problems out on the West Coast.
So. Wrong time to be having COVID.
This is a bad week to have COVID. Yeah,
Drew Smiley throwing batting practice in Chavez Ravine last night.
Did the Braves lose last night?
I just said Drew Smiley's throwing batting practice. I'm probably
like
working
clockwork.
My way to where I don't have to worry about baseball this fall.
Big game.
I don't have to worry
big
about
series.
It.
Big series. Everybody celebrating. Got
right
to LA
on the
lose.
ACC.
Great.
And then the National Football League's Atlanta Falcons. That's going to be my
Who?
Task. Yes, the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, those guys.
Open against Philadelphia. I don't think Josh Macri and I are going to have to worry about a lot of fall baseball.
Voice of Victory?
The Voice of Victory, who will be here later in the show.
Why is that?
Because at 8:15, we're doing over and under.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. All right, so big
True.
Show ahead.
True at 8:15.
No.
True.
Over under. True. Scott Satterfield, Andre Adelson, Manny Navarro. Yesterday, Jeff Hafley, we asked him about a Dave Clawson comment about how good this year might be. And Jeff Hafley kind of doubled down on super seniors. Gave us some really, really interesting comments. And so we decided to do a little research and digging on that comment. And I think some of you are going to be interested to see what we found here.
Yep. The super senior is going to be a factor.
Yep. How many are there? Well, there's one. There's another one. There is the grandfather of ACC football.
Ultra super senior.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, how many super seniors on your team? We'll tell you next on Packer and Durham. Good morning. Great to have you with us.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
So many seniors, and I think that's going to bring a lot of experience, a lot of clean football. I think teams are going to be able to do a little bit more schematically because they've had these players in the system. And I think it's going to make it more competitive this year. And I think there's going to be some teams that maybe get to make runs because their seniors have been developed and they're better than some freshmen and sophomores on some of these, you know, so-called top teams with the 5 stars and the 4 stars. So I'm excited to see it. And I'm grateful that we have a handful of guys that came back for their super senior year.
Jeff Hafley?
Coach is spot on, my opinion.
Okay. We knew this was coming, right? We knew the super senior thing was out there. The 5, the 6, the 7-year guy, so to speak. There are some 7s, by the way. And I think that's the reason Clawson said it originally when he was with us, what, a month ago?
Yeah, he was talking about how many teams could have upwards to 18, 19, 20 returning starters, that you shouldn't be shocked when you start seeing these numbers.
Right.
Ironically, I was talking to Reese Davis yesterday. He said the same thing because he was doing some work on that, and I brought up the Clawson thing. So, yeah, I think Hafley is spot on. I think Dave Clawson is spot on. And, you know, if you're a football fan, and we all are, I think you have the chance to see some really good football in terms of, hey, you got 23-year-olds out there running around, knocking people in the dirt.
Right.
And, you know, there is a big difference. We see it in hoops all the time. The one-and-done guy versus all of a sudden he's going up against a 22-year-old senior. It's a big difference. That was 3 or 4 year difference. That's a big deal. So I think Jeff Hafley was right on the money yesterday, and we're going to find out beginning this week, actually on Thursday.
I want to look at some of these numbers, but let's talk about some of the players. First of all, some of them you know because they're quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett's got 36 starts in his career. He's the ACC's active leader in starts. Now, De'Eriq King has 37 career starts. Next Saturday will be 38, but all of them have not occurred at the University of Miami. So Kenny Pickett leads the ACC in career starts with 36 at that particular institution. But think about schools like Hafley, who's got Kobe White and Zion Johnson.
I'm just telling you, I think that's a huge advantage. And what Coach was talking about yesterday in terms of the schematics, that coaches can now put guys that understand the game. The game's slowed down enough.
Right.
We can do a little fake left, go right. Mm-hmm. Man, that's why I think if you're a BC fan, if you're a Pitt fan in particular, you're going to go through this list here in a second in terms of the numbers at each school. I think it's something to pay attention to if you're an ACC fan and see where your team falls under that category. Because when you have an old team
right.
who gets it and you get some lucky breaks and guys stay relatively healthy, you can have some big years here.
All right. Let's go down the list here in the ACC. Pittsburgh is the leader in super seniors with a dozen. That's a big number.
That's a huge
and
number.
And BC and Florida State got a big number, too.
Yep.
Anybody 10 or more, that's big.
That's why I think Florida State Sunday night, that's why I'm really curious to watch them play. Because right. I know Notre Dame's really good, and they are favored. Mm-hmm. But in some respects, Mike Norvell's going to have some old dudes that understand the way to play the game.
All right. Now, we've spent time talking about Louisville, and we will with Scott Satterfield, top of the hour. 9 of those, that's a good number. That's like, I think, I don't know what the average nationally is going to end up being when somebody puts all that together. You know me, the big math will be a struggle.
Well, we're gonna give you the Power 5 numbers after this,
right.
And it will put it totally in perspective.
Okay, so you see Louisville 9, Syracuse, Virginia, Wake Forest 8, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech 7, 6 for Clemson, Miami, 5 for Carolina, 3 for Duke, and here's the one that surprised me was NC State. Because NC State does such a good job, but they only have 3. And when you think about it, the 3, given the way the Wolfpack has redshirted and built the competitive depth that Dave Doran's talked about with us, and I'm sure he'll talk about with us on Thursday morning, you think about that pack, that's a weird deal. They've only got 3 super seniors.
Well, go back 2 years ago when they were the walking wounded and just – it was all they could do to – field a football team at the end of that season in 2019. And they were playing so many guys that, quite frankly, were just not ready to play at that level. Well, guess what? Those guys are still on that team.
Yeah.
And so NC State, I don't think I'd go too crazy with NC State seeing that number at three, because they really got their baptism, if you will, 2 years ago.
Right.
Where those guys got experience, played, got knocked around. It was men against boys.
Right.
And State fans are going crazy. Hey, you had to take a deep breath, take a step back, and understand what was going on. Last year, you start to see the foundation, right? Guys had experience. They were able to play, had a good year. Now, most of those guys are all back. So I wouldn't go too crazy if I was NC State on that list, because you've got experienced guys who played here for the last 2 years, and NC State's ready to make a move.
Yep. The ACC as a whole has the second most super seniors in the Power Five. 105 in the Pac-12, SEC 94, Big Ten 88, Big 12 69.
Yeah, I'm assuming that does include Oklahoma and Texas. I talked to Yogi Roth yesterday, who covers the Pac-12, and he talked about how experienced the Pac-12 teams are this year. It goes right back to all of this.
Right.
Super seniors, that extra year. Guys said, you know what, I'm not ready for the NFL. I'll come back to college one more go-around. That's why everybody's kind of excited on the left coast that they think they can make some noise. And granted, the Pac-12 and the ACC, to me, are kind of in a similar boat. The only difference is the ACC's got the alpha in Clemson. The Pac-12 really hasn't found that dominant force, even though you feel good about Oregon and SC and Washington, et cetera, et cetera. But both leagues are going to have golden opportunities in the first 2 weeks of the college football season to change the narrative. The narrative of the Pac-12 is, out of sight, out of mind. Never in the playoffs. They're not any good. If it's beach volleyball, pay attention.
Right.
If it's football and basketball, whatever. Even though they had a great run in March Madness. ACC, you hear it all the time. Oh, it's Clemson and nobody else. The only way you change the narrative is to win games of note. Both leagues have monster games the first 2 weeks of the season. Pay attention on that one.
UCLA looked good the other day.
UCLA good. Guess what? They got an opportunity Saturday against LSU. Oregon will have an opportunity next week at Ohio State. Washington have the opportunity at Michigan. ACC, same deal. Florida State, you got the opportunity Sunday night. North Carolina can make a statement, right? Going to Lane Stadium and say, guess
top
what?
10, yeah.
Validate a top 10. Clemson, Georgia, and I've said Miami, Alabama, et cetera, et cetera. Louisville, Ole Miss, Monday night. Opportunities all over the place. NC State going to Mississippi State. Pitt going to Tennessee. Those are the kind of games that change narratives. And so, pay attention. I mean, it's go time. We're 2 days from Tuffy. Can't wait to get to Raleigh, see what's going on. But, again, everybody's excited and upbeat, and now we're going to find out who can play and who can't.
Yeah. The super senior factor is going to – and does it lead to cleaner, better football? We hope so. We think so. Because typically that's the way it's been. Your team's got more experience, they tend to be a better team. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. In the case of somebody, I want to run back that ACC list one more time. Syracuse with 8, okay? Orange have struggled the last couple of years. We've talked about this. Syracuse is 8. That's 5th, tied with Virginia and Wake Forest. People aren't talking about the Cavaliers. They're not talking about the Deacons, and they're sure not talking about the Orange. And Louisville. But the other three are getting some love in one form or another. How much does it help a team like a Syracuse, a Wake, a Virginia, potentially Louisville, to be on the outskirts of double figures move north this year?
It doesn't hurt. I know that much. It can't hurt you at all. I mean, you got guys that have played, that understand that the game slowed down. Mm-hmm. Now go do it. Now they got to stay healthy. And that's the key for everybody. I don't care if you're Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, or that high school team that was playing the other day on ESPN. You got to stay healthy.
Now, you got some here that are game changers who are super seniors. De'Eric King, Mackenzie Milton, Joey Blunt, James Skalski, Nolan Turner at Clemson. Those guys are all those guys are leaders. They've been successful players on successful teams. Then you got guys like Zion Johnson and Kobe White, who we mentioned earlier at Boston College. Or either Tamon Fox at Carolina, who came back, who, if Carolina's going to be much improved on defense, Tamon Fox likely going to have a big role in that.
Those are guys who are supposed to be lined up. Like I said, you can't put a price tag on experience, especially if it's quality players. And everybody you just listed can really play. Really play.
Yeah. All right. There's a look at super seniors. When we come back on this program, guess what we got?
Conference cuts.
That's correct. And what I would... Oh, look, Coach Brown's got himself a podium.
Kevin Costner.
Pat Narduzzi. And I think Dino Babers made an announcement yesterday.
Too early.
All right, we'll see. Too early. Conference cuts, bottom of first hour on Tuesday's Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right,
how about one of those big old turkey legs, man? Does that sound good right about now? Seriously.
Well, it might be a little early for a turkey leg.
Really?
7:30?
What's wrong with you?
Okay.
It's National Whiskey Day.
International Whiskey
Day. All day, every day.
Right. All right.
Brown water goes good with that turkey leg.
Time for conference cuts. Appreciate you. Let's start in Chapel Hill. Speaking of Friday night, Mac Brown to the podium yesterday. Called after finding out that Friday night's game is a sellout, which makes things difficult, obviously. Noise level will be sensational. Mac explained the early season games are challenging enough as it is.
Most first games are lost more than one. You watch those games Saturday and there's so many mistakes. And you just hope as a coaching staff that you've helped your team prepare to a point they'll have fewer mistakes. You go back and look at even on the road night games early. We lose to Florida State. And we have two block punts in the game. We have an interception for a touchdown in the game. We have a situation where they drive the length of the field or 75 yards in a minute, 26 seconds and score right before the half. And then we dropped a punt at the 30. So that's 20 something points that you give up on the road that you just can't do it. And then the same at Virginia. There's a 75 yard flare for a touchdown. There's an interception at their 30. There's a drop punt at their 30. We botched a touchdown right before the half and then didn't stop a fake punt at the end. So those are things that you can't do and win ball games. And we need to improve in those areas on Friday night.
Let me tell you this. He is a Hall of Fame coach. But if you don't think coaches remember losses more than wins, there is 100% proof that that is accurate. Right there, because he just rolled off plays from a year ago. Bang, 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 bang.
They got him beat.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Coaches remember L's more than wins.
Yeah,
they enjoy wins. Don't get me wrong. Coaches love wins. But the L's hang with you like three putts.
And Coach is also right. This is why I think week one games are the hardest ones to figure. You just don't know what you're going to get. This is not last year's team.
Right,
whether you were 1-10 or the national champs, and you did see special team errors at Nebraska Illinois game had a little bit of everything, and Scott Frost is still talking about, hey, it looks like the same old movie, Coach. That's on you, but making little mistakes really can lead to huge problems.
Right,
and when you start talking about the magnitude of games, whether we're talking North Carolina and Virginia Tech, much less Saturday's Miami, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia games, when you've got that kind of talent on the field and you have a hiccup. That's a huge problem. That could lead to seven in a millisecond. In games that you expect to be incredibly competitive, it doesn't take but one play to change a ball game. So, Coach is 100% right.
Let's go to Pittsburgh, where Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock here on ACC Network, the Panthers are projected to win by 98.4% rate by FPI against the Minutemen of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. Pat Narduzzi says, though, you can't be going bland with the old game plan in a situation against a supposedly weaker opponent.
We're just looking at one at a time, but it definitely, having some non-conference games helps. It's not going to change how we do things or what we do. There's the vanilla ice cream that my man Jerry likes. But when you go with just the vanilla ice cream, you don't get to see much. You don't get to get much flavor. And, your kids aren't getting better at it either. So, to me, a little bit of chocolate, maybe chocolate pecan. Who knows? I don't know if they make it. But we'll have a little bit of different flavors. And we need work at it. If we're going to put something new in, we're going to spring it in the opener.
All right. Now, wait, hang on here. Jerry DiPaolo, the Pittsburgh Papers up there, Jerry likes vanilla ice cream. I kind of like vanilla ice cream. I like vanilla ice cream in a cone, soft serve.
I am going to come to the defense of Jeff Hafley, the ice cream man from yesterday.
Strawberry shortcake on a stick.
Hey, Narduzzi, I love you. You know I do. But you can't steal Hafley's material. Hafley's cornered the ice cream market here in the ACC. So don't be coming in there with that chocolate pecan thing, even though I'd eat all of it.
Chocolate pecan.
But you got the game this weekend.
I do.
And yeah. I'm telling you, I think Pitt's going to score a ton of points. I think they're going to be fun offensively. Kenny Pickett, the six-year man we talked about, again.
Yeah.
9 of their 10 rod receivers. We've talked about this a lot in the offseason. What I'm curious to find out, though, with Pitt is defensively, how quickly they can kind of catch up to what I think is going to be a really explosive offense.
Yeah. Panthers are game two of our triple header here on Saturday at 4 o'clock after we open things up at Chestnut Hill.
So FPI thinks that UMass has a 1.6% chance to win the game.
That's correct.
That'd be a little high.
A little high?
Be a little high.
All right. When you go with vanilla ice cream, you don't get much flavor.
I can't argue with that. What I'm saying is that
Friday, you just want me to set the court.
My
right there on
go-to
the
ice cream guy has turned into be Jeff Hafley after our conversation yesterday.
Are you going to tell Narduzzi he's not in charge of ice cream?
He's not in charge of ice cream. Right. I got other things for Narduzzi's a griller. Narduzzi can work the grills. So I need Narduzzi on the grill.
All right. Dave Doran is next from West Raleigh, where he made a passionate plea to the Wolfpack faithful ahead of Thursday night.
We need a four-quarter crowd. We need it rowdy. And, you know, I hope that you're ready to do that. You know, coming back from COVID where you couldn't really be a part of our game day, I know it's now here. And that's what makes us different. We're asking for our fan base and our student section to be a 12th man that has one thing in mind, and that's making life hell on the opponent and lifting the spirit of our team and making it hard on their team. And I think we have a fan base that can do that. We need you to do it for as long as it takes. If it's four overtimes, it's four overtimes. But it does give us a unique environment here when we have it the way that it can be, and I expect it to be that way Thursday. You know, I think we have an incredible tailgate here, and I want our fan base to take advantage of that. And then I want them to be in the seats for four quarters cheering on this team that has worked their butts off for you and make game day something that other fan bases should be jealous of. You know, I think that's something we should strive for as a fan base. It's definitely an opportunity for us to be a part of this together. And we talk about our mission statement here is one pack, one goal. It's a united mission to win a championship. And it's united not just players and coaches. It's all of us. It's our fans. It's our administration. It's our students. It's our players and our coaches working together to get these 7 home opportunities to be uniquely special. And we want it to be that. We want you to be a part of the journey with us. And, you know, when we come out of that tunnel, whether it's for the first quarter or the third, it matters. It matters a lot.
I like what Coach is saying because NC State's had issues. It's been discussed on every message board. It has NC State, even their fans. Hey, we're out of here at halftime. We're going to the tailgate, and all of a sudden there's an empty stadium.
A little pass-out situation there, Carter.
Right. So, that's been discussed amongst NC State fans for a long, long time. But I think Dave Dorn's doing a smart thing here because I think he knows he's got a good club. And he knows when he looks down that schedule, hey, anybody can get fired up when Clemson comes to town. That's easy. But you know what? He mentioned there's only 7 of these.
Right.
You know, we talk about this all year long. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait till football season. All of a sudden, football season gets here. If you got a ticket, man, I'm leaving in the third quarter. I mean, wait a minute. You know, you get 7 of these, right? Some schools only get 6.
Right.
So when you have a really good team, and I think NC State's going to be really good, man, you better enjoy it. And like Coach said, man, you know what? Those kids have busted their tails. They've gone through a COVID year. Got through it without anybody getting totally blown away. They're ready to rock. And NC State sitting there on the fringe top 25. I think they're flying underneath the radar from that perspective. South Florida Thursday, the road trip to Mississippi State's a big game. And then the home games down the road in the league are great home games in Raleigh. So Coach is laying the foundation. Hey, we've done the hard work, living the heavy lifting. Hey, you can go enjoy your chicken and your waffles and anything else you're having at the tailgate in your brown water. But when it's time for kickoff, get your butt in the seat and enjoy it. He's right.
Yeah, no, and I think they're going to be really, really fun to watch. I think they're going to be fun to watch on offense, but let me caution. South Florida's not this walk in the park that some of these other teams are. Jeff Scott's got players, they've recruited, they're building a program, and needless to say, there are a handful of them in South Florida. So, you know, you're going to have at least, there's going to be something on the line sat on Thursday night at 7:30.
Jeff Scott is a tremendous guy.
Right.
I mean, I've known him for a long, long time. He was on Dabo's staff forever. It is a work in progress at South Florida. I mean, this is going to still take a couple more years until
right.
they get to the point where they can probably feel like, hey, all right, we're ready to go compete. So if you're NC State, it's a great tune-up game, right? They're going to come in with a bunch of athletes and all that great stuff. Jeff Scott knows what Carter Finley's all about. He was up there, like
right.
I said, a gazillion times with the Clemson NC State games. But NC State's got a chance to set the tone early.
Absolutely.
Right? And
right.
here's what good teams do. They just take care of business and go, hey, not tonight.
Right.
I mean, best of luck to you when we're done with you, but not tonight.
Yep.
So if you're an NC State fan, you know, hey, Thursday night, let it rip, man. Enjoy what these guys have done, the work. Because I think State's going to be good.
All right. So that's a quick conference cut. We got more to go on conference cuts before we're done at 10 o'clock this morning. When we come back on this show, something we need to discuss. Don't forget, the triple header starts here at noon on Saturday. Chris Cotter, Mark Hursley, Jalen Johnson will be at Alumni Stadium to watch Phil Jurkovic throw it, what was it, 70 to 80 times. Jeff Hafley jokingly said yesterday, I think he was joking. Colgate BC kicks us at noon. Roddy Jones, LaRisha Harris, and I will be at Heinz Field for UMass Pittsburgh, and then ACC Primetime Football presented by Geico from the Flats at 150 Bobby Dodd Way for Georgia Tech and Northern Illinois. Whiteout, by the way, at Grant Field, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. One tap, one app. When we come back, Reese Davis joined Pack yesterday. On the heels of us calling the boys from Game Day out about their Names You Need to Know segment next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. From the basement, Wes is back. We're here for another day. We're 2 days from Tuffy. We'll be on the road Thursday. And then we'll get you ready, man. It's go time.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not bringing Chester and Fuller to meet the Wolf Pup.
Why not?
On Thursday. Well, I'm just, you know, not sure that's a safe thing for the Wolf Pup.
By the way, thanks to the folks that sent us pictures from the
yep.
photo day at Carter Finley.
That was nice.
Got to see some pictures of Tuffy up close. Might be all you there on
That's fine. I know
you're
Thursday. A cat guy. I'm
no,
a dog
no. I'm
guy.
Not a cat guy. I'm a safety guy.
All right. I'm not worried about safety.
McLean's stories are.
Yeah, Mac. Come on.
All right.
Man up a little bit. Don't let Katie George do all the heavy lifting. Just saying.
Fuller, right. How we doing?
Fuller's good.
Good.
All right. We did a segment yesterday. In which we both noticed that College Game Day did players you need to know. For the upcoming 21 season.
Yeah, that's right.
And they listed and broke down the games of 12 players.
Right.
Some who played last year. Some have been there for a while. Not just guys we've never seen before. And so we took note that it was ironic that of the 12 players listed on College Game Day, zero resided from the Atlantic Coast Conference.
That's right.
Not a single player. We had a couple from Oregon, a couple from Iowa State.
Cincinnati
guy. A couple from Ohio State. Obviously, the SEC was covered. And a Cincinnati guy.
Yeah.
But zip, zero, nunca, nada from the ACC. So, Wes, yesterday.
We had our own list.
Yeah, we came up with our own list.
Yeah.
And they all had something in common. None of them were mentioned by College Game Day. So, yesterday on the radio show in the afternoon, Reese Davis joins me every Monday. And I really wasn't going to go there with him. But I did. But I did. So I brought up to Reese that, hey, you know what? We kind of discussed your list on College Game Day and the fact that the ACC was nowhere to be found. Here's what he said.
Well, we can't do all of them.
Yeah, maybe, I mean,
maybe our guys,
hold
maybe
on.
Maybe our guys thought. Maybe our guys thought that everybody knew it.
Because I got to tell you, we had some fun with you guys on our ACC network this morning about the 12 guys you listed, not a single player from the Atlantic Coast Conference. We're like, well, this Shipley kid, I think he's going to be pretty good. Nobody's seen him yet.
Well, then you guys don't pay enough attention because I mentioned Downs, the wide receiver from North Carolina, is going to be great.
All right. Well, he could be. Yeah,
you know, I mentioned him, and look, I'm not going to listen to any of your Dabo-inspired Clemson doesn't get enough love. Like, come on. We're heavy on Clemson
for like disappointed in you guys.
Like 7 or 8 years.
We are really disappointed in game day. We just you know, we got the Ohio State. We had a couple
nobody,
Ohio State guys.
Clemson, nobody believes. Blah blah blah.
Hey, I had somebody said, I think ESPN's doing that on purpose because Dabo wants them. Totally ticked off. Hey, you guys are getting ignored again.
they really get ignored. Yeah, nobody's paying attention to Clemson.
Job well done, Pac. Job well done.
Reese is awesome. We love him.
Job well done.
We love him. I really wasn't going to go there, but we're talking football, man. Hey, you guys come up with 12 guys we need to know. I'll be honest with you, about 8 of them I saw play last year. Nobody's seen Will Shipley play.
Maybe our guys thought that everybody knew them, is what Reese said. I like that.
Well, that's great, but nobody's seen them play. I mean, it's great that those guys know them, but the point is, there are so many guys that are getting ready to hit the stage this week for the first time, and there are going to be a lot of people around the country going, man, who is number 64? Who's number 30? It's just the way it works. It's why we love college football.
Yeah. And again, while Clemson is the headliner, and certainly the Tigers, and again, we go back to this conversation, and I'm fine with it, that Clemson is one of two, potentially three teams in this country that have been dominant fixtures in college football for, like Reese said, 7 or 8 years. We agree with that. Yeah. Alabama and Clemson, for sure. You can occasionally, more often than not, add Ohio State.
Yeah, only because they won the first one.
Correct.
But they haven't been as consistent as Alabama.
But made the championship game last year. So that's their case,
That was their first win in their conference's first win in the playoffs in, 5 years, or whatever, 6 years, or whatever it was.
So, but here's the thing. And we go back to this, and it's important to reiterate it this week. As much as this is about Clemson being good and being one of the better teams in college football, the key element now for the ACC is Carolina, Miami, NC State, Pittsburgh, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Georgia Tech, on and on and on. You got to raise the tide here a little bit. You got to raise the water. Move more teams into the conversation because that's what football can do. That's why the first 2 weeks. Look, Carolina, Virginia Tech, sensational game Friday night. But Georgia, Clemson, Alabama, Miami, Notre Dame, Florida State, Louisville, Ole Miss, the following week, Pittsburgh at Tennessee, NC State at Mississippi State, Missouri comes to BC in the next 2-3 weeks behind that. Those are the games where the landscape changes.
Narrative, right? I've beaten this to death. There's only one way to change it, and you got to win games of note.
That's it.
And so it starts this week. And Miami, golden opportunity. Florida State, golden opportunity. Louisville, golden opportunity. We know Clemson, Georgia, regardless of outcome, those are college football playoff caliber teams, regardless of outcome. So you don't have to get in that argument. But everybody else in the league outside of Pickens County, South Carolina, has to step it up. It's that simple. I mean, I'm just going to cut right to the chase. If North Carolina's going to be a top 10 team, prove it. If Miami's ready to take the next step to get to the top 10 consistently, prove it. Florida State, Virginia Tech, you've got to be good at some point in time. It may not be this year. If it is, awesome. If it's not, hey, in the near future, as in like, I don't know, next year, you got to start showing signs that you're a top 25. That is what's missing right now in ACC football. Clemson, we get. Mm-hmm. We get them. We're over here. Everybody else, can you get a situation where, you know what, you got 3 or 4 teams ranked in the top 20? That's what the mission statement's got to be.
Right. And 2 years ago, we sat in this basement. We were 9 days old with a network. And we started talking about this very topic. Did the ACC do some good things that year? Last year with Notre Dame? Yeah. Carolina? Yeah. Those were good things. Now move it again. Move it one more time. Move it early this year. You know what? There's going to be one this weekend. You're going to come away going, woo. You know what kind of game I'm talking about? Louisiana beating Iowa State. Coastal Carolina beating Kansas.
Again.
Yeah, those type games. There's going to be one. Don't let that happen in your league.
Unless you're the team.
Yeah.
Unless you're the one.
If you're Miami getting Alabama Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that's a big win. Oh. It's a big win for Miami. It's a big win for the league because it's going to move Miami. But, you know, and we all understand, there's levels of it here. There's Syracuse at Ohio. That's a big game for Syracuse. If Syracuse loses to Ohio by chance, does that impact the ACC? No, because Syracuse is not in that range. But like we said 6 weeks ago, if you're Miami, you don't need it to be the typical Alabama demolition job on opening night that sometimes they get.
Right. The ACC already has football brands, right? We know about Clemson. Miami has a national brand. Florida State has a national brand. Virginia Tech has a national brand. North Carolina's been wildly inconsistent, but people are starting to pick up on the bandwagon of Max back and the recruiting's right. Going great.
Absolutely.
Preseason top 10. All of those schools need to be good for the league.
Right.
And that's how it changes the narrative. You know, if you've got three teams in the top 15, top 10, it works.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the league's got to prove that it can do that.
Yep.
We know about Clemson, but can North Carolina, Miami have terrific years and be in the top 10, top 15, and then you sprinkle in maybe Pitt gets hot, NC State gets hot, Virginia Tech, whatever the combination may be, where all of a sudden you got five or six teams in a top 20 ranking, that works.
Mm-hmm.
But the league's got to be able to do that on a consistent basis, and that is the mission statement.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think the first 2-3 weeks – you could go back and look at kind of where the ACC is nationally. There's some real opportunities.
You know, for example, if, biggest word in sports is if Notre Dame were in the ACC football as
right.
a member.
Correct.
You'd have looked at the AP top 25 preseason poll, and you would have seen Clemson, Notre Dame, North Carolina, and Miami ranked in the top 14. No problems.
Nothing wrong with that.
No problems.
Right.
I mean, people would say whatever you want. You go, excuse me, I got four teams ranked in the top 14. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That is perception, right? So that's what's got to happen for ACC football moving forward.
There you go. All right, when we continue, we go to hour two of this fine program, and we start in Derby City. The head football coach of the University of Louisville's here, and he's going to tell Packer what's going on.
All right, I'm looking forward to this.
Scott Satterfield is next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.